Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later on in the show, we're going to be speaking with Marcela Diaz about legislation concerning immigrants and non-immigrant workers here in New Mexico, and we're going to be speaking to Congressman Ben Ray Lujan. Right now, I would like to welcome Leah Recco. She is the new executive director of the Center for Contemporary Arts here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
So it's great to have you here, a new executive director of the CCA, which is an old, long-standing nonprofit arts organization in New Mexico, in Santa Fe, which seems to go through massive metamorphoses and incarnations every few years.
So I've heard.
How did you find yourself here?
Well, I came to New Mexico when I was about 8 years ago now, and I traveled around the state. A friend of mine comes from the family that founded the Lama Foundation up in Taos. So she brought me out here, and we spent about 6 weeks traveling around New Mexico, and I fell in love with the state. And I came across a job description for the executive director's role while I was doing some consulting for the New York Foundation for the Arts in New York, where I was living. And I just thought I'd send my resume out, and here I am. Yeah.
Now, you are an artist as well as an arts administrator.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your work.
Well, right now I'm about to start some research into land use in New Mexico. It'll be the project that I'm working on for the next couple of years, initially anyway. But my history is varied. I have a history in experimental film and in documentary film. I made a piece on the Civil War in Burma in 2003 through 2008. I was working on that particular issue. I've also...
That's a little... rough going there. I mean, it's not exactly undangerous work.
Right. Well, it was really important to me at the time that I got involved with that. I was working as a media director for the Center for Peace and Human Security in New York. And it was just something that was very close to me. And at that time, a woman who founded a nonprofit who wanted somebody to go in and document what was going on in the IDPs there couldn't find a journalist to go in. So I said I would go, so we, you know, flew into Thailand and snuck across the river and with the Karen National Liberation Army and up into the IDP camps and started talking with leaders that had been fighting since 1948 and, you know, with the people that were now living on the run from the Burma Army. So it was a really great project to be involved in.
And that ended up as a documentary film.
Yeah, it did. I don't know that it was particularly successful. It was more successful as an oral histories project, which is what it started out to be. But I also made kind of a documentary that really, I guess, is more a bit like a PSA, but it really is, you know, just listing all the atrocities going on there. There are so many.
So you are also with a group called the La Luta Media Collective?
Yeah, and actually we have an artist in residence coming out from that collective to work here in April. His name's Antonino D'Ambrosio, and he's just been working on a book about Johnny Cash working in the Southwest. And he's also a filmmaker and an author of other books about politics and music. And so he invited me into the collective in New York, and he's just a great collaborator and a really great thinker. So he'll be fun to have out here at CCA too.
Tell us more about the worlds of artist collectives that you've been involved with. I think a lot of people think of artists as solitary beings, and unless you're involved in film, but you know, many artists as solitary beings who create under a bare light bulb somewhere or in their studio. Tell us about the collective experience. What are people doing?
Well, I don't know what other people are doing, but my philosophy in running galleries and in curating has been to foster collaborative works between arts and sciences, arts and technology, social justice issues. So that's really how we're beginning to steer the programming now at CCA. It seems to be the collective interest of the staff and the directors now working there at CCA as well. So it's a very natural progression for us, and we just feel at this time that there needs to be attention paid to really relevant issues. And I've always had a history in kind of advocacy and activism myself, and in that sense art is collaborative. So even the people that I'm, you know, I've worked a lot with like organisations like CalArts, and all the work that is being produced, a new media work and that kind of thing out there, it often involves collaborations between artists. So I've never looked at art as a solitary experience. So, you know, years and years and years ago when I was a painter, I guess it was a very solitary experience, but in my in the way that I move through the world, I believe that collaborative experiences are just far more powerful, and, you know, give a much greater opportunity for creating dialogue, which is what I'm ultimately interested in.
So what? Tell us about some of the other areas of activism besides your work in Burma that you've been involved in.
I guess I'm now involved with trying to work with New Energy Economy through CCA, and we're doing a kind of complementary program. They're out there trying to get youth into green job initiatives, and we are trying to facilitate working with them to give the groups that they're working with across the state media skills, so they can then use those skills to proliferate advocacy for what they're, you know, for what they're doing and what they're interested in. So that's one thing that we're currently doing here.
Tell us more about what your hopes and plans are as director of the CCA.
Well, we have a pretty interesting year lined up in terms of programming. We're working with a lot of different groups. We're doing a post-fossil fuel show in October, and that'll be a collective show. We're working with artists like Andrea Polly, who was running the interdisciplinary department at Hunter College in New York, and she was a friend and an artist I've worked with, and she's just moved out here to run the film and interdisciplinary department at UNM. So she's got some work that she's personally putting in that show, and she's also installing a weather station on our roof at CCA.
Weather station?
Yeah, so that'll feed into a computer that feeds into a data bank and actually gives real data of, you know, energy that she's recording at CCA. And she has installed a number of these at different museums around the world. So this is all kind of becoming a collective feed into, you know, actual scientific data.
What's the art connection with that?
Well, that's bringing artists and technologists and ecologists and environmentalists together to collectively work on really public art installation in a sense. But it's just an ongoing arts and science collaboration, and it's an attempt to demystify the use of weather and climate in this collaborative context. And also the weather station itself is a beautiful sculptural object.
Interesting. Yeah. It is funny when artists are working with scientific concepts, and this has been true since the Russian constructivists. They'll take something and run with it, and it really will leave behind any accuracy or truth in mm-hmm. the scientific sense, but it becomes sort of a metaphor or a point of departure. And then you have science people looking at it and just shrugging their shoulders.
Right. And I think in some sense it is a comment on, you know, perhaps science is God, and, you know, you can get into all kinds of things around those concepts. But I think that, again, to me, the importance lies from deconstructing perhaps an idea of truth, because it's all somewhat relevant as well. And more into the idea of a dialogue and how we can learn from each other and create new possibilities, rather than a quantifiable or a qualitative research proposition. You're looking at a combination of things that perhaps open new ways of seeing to both worlds.
We're talking to Leah Recco. She is the new executive director of the Center for Contemporary Arts here in Santa Fe. So you're from Australia.
Uh-huh.
Have you been here a long time?
I've been in New York for 12 years. I was in Africa before that.
What were you doing in Africa?
I was documenting elephant migration patterns on the savanna in Botswana to see how they were changing the ecology there through you know, eating their way through. I mean, a lot of people think that elephants, you know, that they are protected, and but there's also a problem with keeping the population under control. So they tend to kind of run rampant and take over and then eat themselves to death because they, you know, there's too many of them and they can't sustain themselves.
Not enough habitat.
Right. And that's been going on since, you know, the 50s with Peter Beard. You know, he was documenting that many years ago. So that's what I was doing in Africa. And before that, for many years, I was living in Asia. And I lived in Australia for a short time in 1996. And before that, I lived there during my college days. So I've been in and out of Australia a lot and just kind of meandering around the planet, working on different projects.
So that wandering around the planet will surely influence the kind of art and research and dialogue that you'll be doing at the CCA.
Sure, yeah. And I have a big history in amateur ethnography and post-colonialism and issues like that that have always been of interest to me, but also geography. I guess I'm interested in mapping my own personal geography.
What does that mean?
Well, I guess it means deconstructing how I move through the world and what drives me and how I form my worldviews by a kind of a phenomenological discipline, how I experience the world and what's important to me and how that informs the future ways that I experience the world. And that's one of the things that I'm enjoying incorporating into this programming at CCA with things like this post-fossil fuel show or, you know, upcoming programming that we're doing. One of the shows that we have opening in April is a show on using all original uncut footage from NASA, from the early space flights, by an artist named Gardner Post. And I think that that's really relevant to commentary not only of like the Cold War and the space race, but it also flows over into current issues about, you know, foreign policy and, you know, regional issues of what's going on. With, you know, there's a lot of kind of space ports and crazy stuff going on here in New Mexico too. So, yeah.
So another vehicle for fostering conversations about various world issues, world events is, of course, the wonderful cinema program. We just finished the African Effect Film Festival there. Amazing film festival. For those who didn't go, you'll have to check it out next year. But do you have any hopes or ideas about the film programming at the Cinematheque?
Well, I'm now working with Jason Silverman, the Cinematheque director, who is fabulous, and he has a lot of really passion about social justice issues in particular, I think. But generally, he and I think in very similar ways. So together we're trying to do more collective programming campus-wide. So what's going on in the cinema is reflected more in across what's going on in visual arts and our media lab. And this year for African Effect, I asked a friend of mine, Vernon Reed, who's a musician, to create, he's also an animator, to create a piece on Artificial Africa, which is a project he's been working on for our motion, for our moving image lab. And so that was a media installation that was playing throughout African Effect. And next year I would like him to be part of a larger curated show that also plays in our Munoz Waxman Gallery as well. And in that vein of kind of incorporating and being inclusive, and as you said at the beginning of this interview, kind of coming back to a place from 30 years, we're coming up to our 30th anniversary, and I've just come from a lunch with Bob Gaylor and Linda Klosky, who were our founders of CCA, and we're honouring them on April 18th at our 30th year fundraiser. And so we've been talking about, you know, the roots of CCA and how it was multidisciplinary and very inclusive and was just very energised across a range of disciplines. So that's something as well that we're getting back to, and so the programming is not by one person or another, it's just more of a collective.
And you are, it is now an artist-run space, which is, I think, a wonderful thing for a contemporary art center to be. The fundraising event is on the 18th of April.
Uh-huh.
And if you want to find out more information about that, it's 982-1338 in the area code 505 here in Santa Fe. And you can also go on the web to ccasantafe.org. Leah Reckout, thank you so much for being with us on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a break right now, and when we come back, we'll be speaking with Marcela Diaz. Stay tuned to KSFR.